In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Paul says to Timothy, his son, something that we should be saying with emphasis, with expectation, with desire every single Sunday. Every single one of us should be saying this, but it is certainly said in the church. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And we say something very similar to this in the communion prayers, just before communion. I believe, O Lord, and I confess that thou art truly the Christ, the Son of the living God, that is come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. So it must be very, very important. Now the question that I have for myself first, and also that you should have for yourself, is, do we fulfill this mandate, this commandment, that we must have this saying be worthy of all acceptation? That is not a liturgical flourish, that is not some kind of Byzantine hyperbole. It is worthy of all acceptation. What does this mean? When we read the scriptures, there should be resonance in us. We should feel them deeply. We should feel like a man who is shattered and rebuilt every time. There should be something in our heart which is like that with Luke and Cleopas when they said, did not our hearts burn within us when we walked with him on the way and he opened up to us the scriptures? We should feel this burning. And something like this, we should feel a burning in our heart, that we would completely accept this saying, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. This is the key to peace, to the peace which passeth all understanding. And there is no other key. Without accepting that we are sinners, without accepting that we are chief among the sinners, we cannot have peace. Because if you look at the things in your life that cause you trouble, it is when you compare yourself to someone else. You don't like what they get, you think you're better, smarter, faster, in some way more deserving, they're more of a jerk than you, it's unfair, etc., etc. Just look. So we consider ourselves to be first. It is the human nature to do that. But God nature is not to consider oneself to be first, because Jesus Christ didn't consider himself to be first. He, although being equal to God, became lower for a little while than the angels. I'm kind of paraphrasing something, I believe, from Philippians, but you would understand. And he became a servant to all. So we must have this mentality and this admonition from St. Paul to his son, Timothy, should resonate in us. How do we make this saying that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief, worthy of all acceptation? How does that happen? It happens by our struggle. First with ourselves. We must struggle against our passions, all the things that keep us from God. This is why we follow the commandments. Not because they are rules etched in stone, backed by someone who will kill us if we don't follow them. But because when we do not follow the commandments, we are farther from God. We cannot understand him or see him. And if we are to accept this saying, that we are sinners worse than anyone else, then we must struggle to follow the commandments. And we must struggle to feel deeply in our heart that God has saved us. This cannot be something that is really manufactured. It has to come about by day-to-day discipline and struggle and thanksgiving. I know a man used to have a drinking problem. This man, as far as I can see, is free of judgment of people. He is so thankful to God that he no longer drinks, and he hasn't drank for many, many years now. And he doesn't show any of the signs of someone who used to be a drinker. Because usually someone who drinks or uses drugs, there's selfishness in the way they live, even after they've stopped drinking. This man, there's an odor of grace about him. And so he has taken this saying to his heart, that it is worthy of acceptation that he was and continues to be a great sinner, but God has delivered him. It comes about by living in a humble way. Now, St. Paul goes on to say, "Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Do not make the mistake of thinking that he is only speaking as an apostle and it only applies to apostles, to a small, tiny segment of humanity. This applies to all of us. We obtain mercy from Christ, and then we must show to others that we have obtained this mercy. And there is only one way for that to happen. For us to change. For people to see in us that we have changed. St. Paul says just before this selection that he was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. And I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly and in unbelief. He admits that he was a murderous man. He was a dangerous man. The Christians were afraid of him because he had the authority and he used it to kill Christians. And so, when he received our Lord, and when he repented of his sins, people saw that he changed. I think he always had a powerful temperament. And he always was imposing in the way he presented himself. That was his personality. And you can see some of that personality in his letters. But you can also see his deep, sacrificial love for his brethren and for his flock. And that would have been communicated to people by how he talked, by how he acted, by the things he did. And so we must also do this. We are not an island. The purpose of our life is not to evangelize others. That's turning this whole idea on its ear. That's what some people interpret Christianity as. We're forgiven by God, so now we've got to go out and save the world. And I once believed that. That's not true. Or should I say, that focus is incorrect. The focus is that we are sinners above all men, and God has saved us. And out of that knowledge should come deep gratitude. And out of that gratitude comes change. Because the Holy Spirit now has a place to rest in us. Because we have, as it were, burrowed out a space for Him. And with the Holy Spirit abiding in us, warming us, teaching us, we will change. It's very important. The beginning is recognizing you are a sinner and never forgetting it. That's why our services, our prayers, are full of references to our sinfulness, to our depravity. We don't tire of saying it because it's true. And God has saved us even though we are unworthy. And so there should be a sense of gratitude that should be so powerful in us, it should motivate us. So look in your heart. If you have anything in your heart that leaves you without peace, it is because you are violating this mandate, this commandment. Anything. Because the man who is completely aware that he is a sinner, completely I say, he would not sin. Because God gives grace to the humble. So the one who is perfectly humble would not sin. And that can happen even in this life. It might not happen to us because of our sins, but we should still attempt to have it happen. This is from tomorrow's reading, which probably I won't talk about because tomorrow already is the Sunday of Zacchaeus. 5 weeks now before we begin Great Lent. And only in, I believe it is three sentences, St. Paul conveys something that we must do every day. Recognize that we are sinners above all, and that Christ saved us, and that we have a responsibility to show forth that Christ showed forth all long-suffering in us by changing. And after he tells his child Timothy these things, he ends with a doxology that should ring in our hearts. Now, unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory and honor forever and ever. Amen. So may this doxology ring in our hearts. It cannot ring in your hearts until you recognize that your heart without God is evil. But with God, He will save you. So may God help us to believe that we are sinners above all men, and that it is a saying worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The blessing of the Lord be upon you through His grace and love for mankind, always, now, and ever, and unto the ages of ages.